Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how's everybody doing? The latest round of my 12-week group coaching program officially came to an end this week, and I am so sad that it's over. I do have a few one-on-ones left with some of the members because they also get the one-on-ones as part of the program. But other than that, I'm saying goodbye to such an amazing group of clients, and this round really has been amazing. People have been showing up, putting in the work, and I've seen so many huge shifts and changes that people have created for themselves. And, you know, often we think that the shifts are going to be these huge epiphany moments that happen in one session, but that sometimes happens. That is very rare. It's the small, tiny changes and shifts that we make that add up over the 12 weeks that create the biggest results. And I am just so proud of each and every one of them for showing up and doing the work and creating these changes in their life. In the last call I had, which it was last night for me, but for when you're listening to this, it will have been a few nights ago, I was talking to one of the smaller groups, and three of them described the program as life-changing. And that was just, it gave me goosebumps, to be honest, because it just reminds me why I do this work and how powerful these tools are, not only in our relationships, but in every area of our lives. So I am so happy. Again, I think I've described this before as being bittersweet. It totally is. I'm sad to see people go, but I'm also so happy that they've managed to create feelings of security and confidence in their relationships and feel like they can handle the future, whatever is in store for them. That is such an amazing thing to see. So I'm going to be launching the next round in May, and I'll tell you more about that at the end. So definitely stick around if you think that's something you might be interested in getting involved in. I also want to start this episode by answering a question I got in my DMs a while back. Someone was asking me to do an episode on having anxious thoughts around the fact that they listen to this podcast so much, or that they feel they need to listen to this podcast so much. And their brain was saying that the fact that they have to manage their mind so much and have so many anxious thoughts to deal with must mean something bad. And I'm not sure if it was something bad about them or something bad about their relationship, but I wanted to touch on this quickly before we dive into today's episode. So as long as you have a human brain, you will have unhelpful thoughts that create unhelpful feelings and that drive unhelpful ways of showing up to your life and that stop you creating the results that you want. And for those of you that resonate with this podcast, your human brain has probably just picked some unhelpful thoughts and beliefs around relationships, around rejection, about what rejection would mean about you, about yourselves, about your own worth and value. But that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you or that your relationship isn't right. Having a human brain that absorbs unhelpful ways of thinking like a sponge just makes you a human. And if you weren't having unhelpful thoughts about your relationships, maybe you'd be having them about your money mindset. Or maybe it'd be thoughts about your career or about a goal you have or about your body, or about your friendships. I don't know. Your brain would find something else to have mind drama about because it's a human brain, not because there's something wrong with you or your relationship. So please know that these thoughts and beliefs are super common, and just be kind and compassionate to yourself as you work through them. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. And so to the listener that wrote in with that question, I really hope that that was helpful. And for today's episode, I wanted to talk about how to validate yourself, because we're often told that it's our jobs to validate ourselves, not our partners or our friends, which makes sense and sounds good. But so often I see people getting confused with how to actually do that. What does validating ourselves even mean? And how do you do that practically in your relationships? So the first thing we need to consider is, what actually is validation? Now, most people will think of validation as a feeling that someone else can give to you. So we say, they validated me. They make me feel validated when they say this. But as you know, if you're a regular listener to this podcast, other people never create your feelings. It's always your own thoughts. So let's look at what's really happening when we're feeling validated by others. So maybe your partner says words to you like, you look amazing today, or you were right to quit that job, you did the right thing. They're just saying words to you. Words are coming out of their mouth and you are hearing them. Then your brain has a thought about what they've said. Maybe it's, they're right, I do look good today. And then you feel confident. Or, yeah, they're right, it is okay that I quit that job. And then you feel calm and at peace with your decision. You feel validated. But it's important that you understand that the positive emotion, the validation you feel, doesn't directly come from what they've said or done. Because think about it. Someone could say something with the intention of validating you, and you could have the thought, nope, they're wrong. They're just trying to be nice. They don't mean it. Definitely was the wrong decision. I'm an idiot. And you wouldn't feel validated. You'd still feel terrible. Their words or actions don't directly create what you feel. A sentence in your brain always does. And this is really important to understand because a lot of us are using our relationships as validation vending machines, which is an amazing phrase that I heard from one of my favorite coaches, Carol Lowenthal. And it's totally true. We expect our partners or friends or family to exist solely to dish out positive affirmation and words to us so that we can have nice thoughts and feel good about ourselves. And we subconsciously use them as validation vending machines and then become frustrated and resentful when they aren't doing it right or saying the right thing. But your partner, your friends, your family members, colleagues, whoever they are, do not exist to help provide your brain with nice thoughts to think. That isn't why they've been put on the planet. Their job isn't just to act in ways that you like so that you can think highly of yourself. And when you're believing you need them to act in certain ways so you can feel good about yourself, you're going to end up resenting them when they don't play along or when they don't follow your manual for how they should act. And this doesn't make you a terrible person, by the way. My brain has definitely been guilty of this a hell of a lot in my relationships. We subconsciously make how someone else acts mean something terrible about us. And so then we need them to change or be different to validate us and make us feel good again. It's like, you know, if them not texting you back means you have to believe you're boring and unlikable, you're going to be very frustrated and angry at them when they don't text you back. And you're going to want to force them to text you back faster so you don't have to feel so bad. It's kind of crazy. So one of the most important things we can learn to do is separate out how they're acting or what they're saying from what we are thinking and feeling. Because as long as you believe that how they act or what they say is responsible for how you feel, your feelings of confidence and validation will always be out of your hands. And I'll give you an example from one of my one-on-one clients. She often feels resentful towards her partner when he says he isn't in the mood for sex. And the reason is because she makes him not wanting sex mean that she's not attractive enough. So she wants him to initiate sex more so that she can have the thought, I'm attractive, and believe that about herself and feel good. She believes she needs him to do that to validate that belief for her. But actually, did you know that she gets to believe she's attractive and feel good about herself, regardless of how often her partner initiates sex? Those two things are not linked together. How often he initiates sex is not something that determines how good she gets to feel. It's her own thoughts about it that do. Think about something that this applies to in your own life. Maybe you want more matches on a dating website to validate the fact that you're a good catch, or you want people to ask you on more dates on those dating apps, or you want your partner to like your pictures more, or maybe you want your partner to text you more often so that you can believe they care about you and therefore feel lovable and fun and good enough. But did you know you get to believe you're lovable, fun, good enough, a great catch, regardless of what other humans do, regardless of other people's texting habits? You get to believe that about yourself even if your partner never texts you again, didn't even want to see you anymore. You still get to believe that you are lovable and fun and good enough, because believing those things about yourself is something you can do regardless of any circumstance. Really think about that. Who gets to decide if those things are true? Who decides who's lovable and who's not, or who's fun or who's good enough? Nobody. It's totally made up and subjective. And even if one person thinks you're not some of those things or any of those things, someone else could think the complete opposite. It's all completely subjective, meaning you get to decide what you think about yourself regardless. And an example from my own life is within friendships. I wanted my friends to text me more often and text back faster and make more plans with me so that I could feel likable. I was using how often they were in touch with me to validate that belief for myself. So if they text me and ask to see me, I can believe I'm likable and good enough. But if they don't reply for a few days, I have to believe I'm unlikable and boring or not fun to be around. Maybe you can relate to this. And in these moments, we're using other people to validate ourselves and we end up making ourselves feel so terrible when they don't follow our script or our manual for them. We begin to see relationships as transactions, like it's a job description or a contract that they didn't even know they'd signed up for. You must behave the way I've decided you should in order to make me feel good and secure, or I'll be angry at you and resent you and I'll feel miserable. But they didn't sign up to be your source of validation. And noticing how they're actually never the ones creating that feeling in the first place, and what thoughts you're believing that actually are creating it, is such an important place to start with this. So I want you to think about the last time you felt validated or good or pleased with something your partner or friends or family did. Maybe someone paid you a compliment or gave you good feedback or bought you a nice gift. Whatever it is, consider what are the facts of what they did or what they said. Then consider, what did I then allow myself to believe about myself in that moment? If your brain goes to, I made it mean that they like me or that they care about me, that's good, but go one level deeper. What does that mean? If that action means that they like you, what does them liking you mean you get to believe about yourself? Does them liking you mean you get to believe you're likable? You're attractive, you're interesting, you're fun to be around, you're enough, you're safe, you're smart, you're interesting? Notice what your brain decided you were then allowed to believe based on their behavior. Then consider, do I believe that about myself all of the time? Or does my brain only allow me to believe that if someone is showing me attention or affection? Do I base my belief of this on how others treat me? And if they don't treat me in the way I'd hoped, do I struggle to then believe that about myself? And so many of my clients, both one-on-one and the clients that come to the group coaching, struggle with this same belief, and I did for so many years too. It's the belief that if they like me, that means I'm likable. And therefore, if they don't like me, that means I'm not likable. If they find me attractive, that means I am attractive. But if they don't find me attractive, then I must not be. Our brains do it so often, and we have to challenge that story, that whole equation. Because some people not liking you or finding you attractive doesn't actually make that a fact about you. Think about someone you like and find attractive. Maybe it's your partner or a celebrity crush of yours. Did you know that there'll be some people in the world that don't like that person and wouldn't find them attractive at all? Wouldn't want to date them, wouldn't want to hang out with them. Some people wouldn't want to date Beyonce. Some people wouldn't find Beyonce attractive. Some people find her wildly attractive and would love to be her best friend. The fact that some people don't doesn't mean that no one will. And it doesn't have anything to do with her. It's down to the unique brain of the person thinking about her. And it's the exact same with you. Them not liking you has nothing to do with whether you are likable or unlikable. It's down to their brain and its unique preferences and thoughts. And any thought that they have about you is just an optional opinion, not a fact. So we have to challenge our brain and what we make other people's perceptions of us mean about us. And notice in what ways we're basing our thoughts about us or our decisions on what their thoughts are. I swear, working through these beliefs and cleaning up those thoughts will change all of your relationships in so many ways, but most importantly, it will transform the relationship you have with yourself. So, coming back to how to validate ourselves, I'm going to offer you a few key steps to walk you through how to do this. So if you want to grab a pen and paper and take notes, do it. Or you could always just listen and then just come back to the recording whenever you need a reminder. But the first thing we have to start off with is noticing our own thoughts and feelings in the current situation. So let's say you've had an argument with your partner and you're really wishing they would just say some encouraging words to you to help soothe you, to help you feel better. But your partner is just not in the frame of mind to do that. Maybe they still feel really annoyed and they're quite triggered too. They're just not in the place to be dishing out kind words of validation. So you just sit there feeling miserable and spiraling in your negative thoughts. Or you can ask yourself, What is it I'd love for them to say to me right now? Even better, write it down. I did this once during an argument with my partner. She was upstairs having some space and I was sat downstairs, and I wrote down what I'd love for her to say to me in that moment. So write it down if you can, or just think about it in your head. What words would you love them to say to you? That's step one. Then the next question is, if they said those things, what would you then get to think? For example, in the argument with my partner, I wanted her to say she loved me, we were going to be okay, she trusted me, that I hadn't done anything wrong. And if she'd have said those things, my brain was telling me I could then believe I'm okay, I've not done anything wrong, I'm loved, I'm good enough, I'm a good person, all of those kinds of thoughts. So really consider those two first questions. What is it you're wanting them to say to you? And if they said it, what would you then allow yourself to believe? Could be something totally different. Maybe it's you're wanting them to initiate sex, and if they did, you'd get to believe you're attractive. Or maybe you want them to compliment you more, and if they did, you'd get to believe you're a good enough partner and you're likable or you're lovable. It's really important that you get to the root of what you would make that mean about you, not just their feelings for you, but what that would then mean about you. Because that is what it always comes down to. It's always a thought about ourselves that creates our validation, our confidence, our security. So really dig deeper to consider what that thought is. Maybe you want them to tell you that they think it's okay you cancelled plans with your friends, or that it's okay that you called in sick to work. Consider, what would I get to believe if they said that to me? Would I then give myself permission to believe that those things were okay? Would I then believe that I made the right decision? And then notice how you'd get to feel if you really believed those things. That is what your brain is after. It wants the validation from them so that you can have that feeling. But that feeling is available to you right now, regardless of what they say or don't say. Then the next step is to consider, how can I believe that about myself or my decision or whatever it is right now? How can I decide that those things are true without needing them to say them to me? In what ways aren't I believing those things, and why? Why am I choosing not to believe them? Really get curious with this step, because it's the part where you are owning your own power, the power you have to believe anything you want, regardless of what other people say or do. Maybe this is an insecurity you have and you struggle with it a lot, and so your brain is just using their behavior as evidence to prove it true. Or maybe it's not, but either way, really owning that it's your own thinking here that's either going to keep you feeling miserable or make you feel more confident and secure is so empowering. And this is where you get to choose a new thought that you want to think on purpose to validate yourself in this moment. And you can use what you wanted them to say to you for inspiration for this. I did this during the argument I was telling you about when I wrote down what I wanted her to say to me. I read the words back as if I was saying them to myself. And I literally sat and said to myself in my head, I love you. You're going to be okay. I trust you. You haven't done anything wrong. And I felt this warm feeling go over my body. I felt genuine love and care for myself in that moment. And that was me being able to validate myself. So maybe if it's you wanting them to compliment you more so that you can believe you're attractive. Okay, what can you believe right now that'll create that experience for you right now? And it might be that you're not ready to believe the thought, I'm attractive. Maybe that's too much of a reach and you don't believe that. But consider, what could be a believable thought to you? Again, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you'll have heard me say that new thoughts have to be believable to our brains for them to have any impact. You can't just be pie-in-the-sky affirmations that sound nice but don't feel true. When you think them, they have to create a shift in your body. They have to feel true. So if you come up with a new thought and it doesn't feel good, it's not going to do anything. So keep brainstorming ideas until you find one that feels believable. I talk about this in the episode from a few weeks back on how to think and feel differently, so definitely go and check that out if you haven't already. But I talk about how you can use phrases like, it's possible, or I'm open to believing, to make your new thought feel more true, to help your brain get on board with it. For example, it's possible there are some attractive things about me, or it's possible there are some things about my body people would find attractive. I have one client whose thought about her body is, it's hideous. So now she's practicing the thought, I have an average human body. which doesn't sound like an amazing thought. We wouldn't put it in a frame and hang it in our room, but she feels so much better when she thinks that compared to my body's hideous. So it's just a small step in the right direction. It's a manageable shift for her brain. So consider, what is it I'd love to be feeling towards myself right now? And what would I need to be believing to feel that way? What thought would someone who felt that way be thinking? And you might be able to go a bit more positive than that really neutral example. That's amazing. Go as positive as you can, but just don't push yourself to go too far. If it's too much of a jump and doesn't feel believable, just consider what a slightly more neutral version of that thought could be to help your brain get on board with it. Maybe you're doubting your decision to leave your job and you want someone to tell you it was the right decision. Could you believe it's the right decision right now without anyone else saying it? If not, what could you believe that does feel true? Perhaps I did the best I could with the information I had at the time, or I made the best decision I could in that moment. Brainstorm ideas and explore how you can validate yourself and create the feelings you really want to be having. So let me do a recap of the steps. One, ask yourself, what is it I'd love for them to say to me right now? Two, then consider, what would I then allow myself to think or believe if they said that? Three, get curious. How can you believe that regardless of what they say? And what's stopping you from believing that? And then four, come up with a thought that you want to think about this situation or topic. What do you want to choose to think and believe right now? And brainstorm lots of ideas. Use the answers from the first three questions to help you come up with ideas of how you want to think and validate yourself in this moment. Those are the four simple steps, and I want you to practice them over and over and notice how much more empowered and confident you feel in all areas of your life, regardless of what other humans are doing or thinking. Okay, guys, that's all I have for you today. And if this resonated with your brain, I will be able to teach you how to properly use and apply these thought work tools to your own life in my 12-week group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. So if right now you feel like this all sounds good and makes sense, but you're struggling to really challenge your default thoughts on your own or come up with alternatives, this is where having the guidance of a coach is going to be really powerful for you. I definitely wouldn't be where I am right now without the help of some brilliant coaching minds helping me to see my blind spots that I didn't even know I had. So the next round is going to be in May, and when I open the doors, there will be a 10% discount available just for the first 24 hours. So I'll put the link for the waitlist in the information section of this episode. I highly recommend you go get yourself on that list so that you don't miss the discount. This round has been amazing, and the next round is going to be even better, so you definitely don't want to miss it. If you have any questions at all, my email address is also in the show notes, but you can also come and find me on Instagram and DM me any questions you have. And as always, if you're loving this podcast, please could you do a little something for me? Could you give it a rating on whatever platform it is that you're listening from? That would mean the absolute world to me, and it will really help me to keep reaching more and more people with this work. I hope you all have lovely weekends, and I will speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.